Maybe there's someone here tonight and you didn't grow up in a Christian home and you're not here out of obligation to your family. Maybe you have come as a result of an invitation from a friend, maybe a co-worker. Well, my little story of conversion tonight is one where I didn't grow up in a Christian home, and I did come at the invitation of a friend. I grew up in Ireland, and it was a country that has been blessed with the gospel for many years. It's not uncommon to be passed a gospel pamphlet or a gospel tract on the street, particularly in the cities. But nonetheless, there's spiritual darkness there as there are in any part of the world. And I grew up being taken to church every Sunday without fail, sent to Sunday school, but never heard about the awful place called hell. Never heard, we're hearing tonight a little bit about the Lord's coming. Didn't understand that there would be a time when the Lord would come back again. But nonetheless, thank God, there were people that I went to school with, and I knew there was something different about them. Me and my friends would have said, they're good living, or they're religious, or they're part of this group or that group. We'd have labeled them in some way, but, you know, deep down inside, we respected them. And if there's one thing that I knew is that they had something that I didn't have, particularly as we got older at school, and me and my friends would be doing things that young men ought not to be doing, and going places that we ought not to have been going. And we talk about things on a Monday morning, as people even do in the world, in the workplace, they come back and they tell about their weekend and so on. They tell about things that they had been doing in the weekend, and it was vastly different than anything I had done. And I can remember on one occasion them telling about being at a Bible conference. And I remember asking, oh, it's a Bible conference. Well, once he described it, I said, that sounds like being at church for a whole weekend. And I couldn't understand how that they were speaking about it as something that they actually enjoyed. Well, I couldn't understand how, you know, church was something you went to, you got through the hour, you endured it as best you could, and that was it. That was you done for the week. I had a little job in a gas station pumping gas, and in our town there were a lot of Christians. Went to various denominations and quite a number that went to the assembly, and I got to pump the gas. And in the ones from the assembly, I worked with a couple of them, and there were others that were younger. I can remember them coming through the gas station. I'd be pumping their gas, and they're there, all dressed up. And a weeknight, where are they going? They're going to meetings. And some of those people are still not saved. I couldn't understand how somebody could go to meetings every night. Little did I understand the privilege of what they were hearing. But the contacts that I had at school were to turn out to be a blessing to me later on. I had those that I interacted with at various levels at school, and one of them was a person who professed to be a Christian, and I kept company with her. And she gave me a little booklet and told me about how a person could commit their life to Christ. Had a little prayer at the end, and I prayed the prayer, made my commitment. I had no understanding of my sinfulness, no understanding that I was bad enough to go to hell, less that I deserved to be there. But it changed my life in this way, that I stopped going to the places I used to go to and doing the things that I used to do. That was just a reformation. It did change where I went to on a Sunday, and I thank God for that. because I soon heard the gospel plainly preached. And those people that I mentioned earlier, I met them on the street in Belfast one day when we were at college. And I was telling them about my experience, and they were interested to hear it. And they wisely said, there's a place that we go to on a Tuesday night where we study the Bible together. Maybe you'll come along. Well, I ended up going there on the Tuesday night, a lot of young people from college. Very, very different to anything I was used to. And then we went back for a little cup of tea and a cookie afterwards. And they were talking and conversing, and then they started to tell how they got saved. It became evident it was going to come to me pretty quick. I told my story, and nobody said amen. A little question mark about this fella. But nonetheless, they were kind and gracious and wisely suggested that there was a gospel meeting on a Sunday night. Would I like to come? And that was how I became introduced to gospel halls, assemblies as we know them. Well, those people that were so kind to me, there was a couple of young men particularly that I knew. And, of course, growing up in Ireland, you know, the land of blessing is America. And in your mind, you know, you're thinking, if you could get to America, that would be something great. And they had been out the year before during the summer, and I had planned to go the next summer, and they said, you know, when you go over there, there's people that meet like we do here. I wasn't in the assembly at the time or anything like that. And, well, they live in different parts, and if you ever get over there, you should look them up. They gave me some addresses in Iowa, Minnesota, and Wisconsin. Well, I ended up coming over. By this stage, I had the profession I mentioned. I'd been baptized. I even became part of the assembly. I came out here. I ended up in different parts of the United States. Ended up in Madison, Wisconsin. Was picked up from the airport by Jim and Janice Fraser, known to everyone here, I'm sure. And what did we do that night? We went to a gospel meeting. I've been flying all night, traveling all day, and we ended up at a gospel meeting that very night. Well, you know, God brought me out here, 4,000 miles away, to show me what I really was. And not only did I get to the gospel meeting that night, but a couple of weeks later, we put a tent up. They put a tent up in Mount Tabor, Wisconsin, there near Toma. And Arthur Ward, late Art Ward, and Jim started the meetings the next night, August 2nd. And I went to those meetings night by night, listening to the gospel. There are many other things I could mention. Witnessing a Christian family, I had never seen that before, in operation. Where the Bible was read, where time was taken to pray each day for others. And then to go to the gospel meetings at night. And I began to think to myself, you know, this message is bothering me. And I didn't know why. And secretly in my room at night, I'd get my Bible out and I'd read tracts and do different things. And then I'd say, well, no, I really am saved. But I had no peace. And they'd emphasize about a definite experience when a person passed from death unto life. And finally I concluded I did not have that experience. I did not have a definite reality of passing from death unto life. I didn't try and put myself into another's shoes. I just simply listened to the message. It wasn't man preaching every night about profession, a false profession. It wasn't that. It was the gospel. They tell me about a man that died on Calvary, who shed his precious blood for sinners, who died to save a sinner from going down to hell. That's what I heard night by night. And God used his word to convict me of my sin. I'd heard men, young men, tell how they were going to get saved, and they tell about conviction of sin, and I just shake my head. What's that? I learned during those meetings what conviction of sin was. Just simply acknowledging you're wrong and God is right. One night, I sat and listened to the gospel. And by this stage, I really wanted to be saved. I wanted to be sure. I wanted to know my peace with God. I wanted to be sure I'd never be in hell. I was convinced I was now bad enough to be in that awful place. Here I am, I'm worried, what's everybody going to say? I'm in the assembly, and I have no peace with God, no reality. Well, maybe you're worried about what your friends at work will think. Maybe you're worried about what your friends at school will think. You've got to get beyond all that. And I did. And that Monday night, the 24th of August, 1992, sitting in the tent and listening to the gospel from this verse, John 5, telling about Christ coming as a judge. And I thought to myself, if he comes as a judge, he'd be right and just. He'd be perfectly right in judging me for my sins. But you know, there was another verse that came to my mind that night that he didn't read. And that's the other verse we read. I began to think about Christ and the cross. And I closed my eyes and I tried to picture him there. And I couldn't see him, as it were. But I remember thinking this, what did he say? He said, it is finished. And just like that, in a moment of time, I realized, it is finished. The work of Christ is enough. And it was almost as though the preacher could read my mind. And he quoted again from John 5 and 24. He that heareth my word and believeth, he said, believeth him that sent me, believing God, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation. And I said, that's it. It's enough that Christ has died for me. I didn't know I even knew the verse from a little hymn then, but it came into my mind immediately. It is enough that Jesus died and rose again for me. That moment, sitting there on the seat in the tent, up there in Mount Tabor, I knew my sins forgiven. I knew for sure I would be in heaven, not because of anything I had done. Everything I had done was bad and evil. It was all forgiven because of one that was willing to shed his precious blood for my sins at Calvary. He was the one that was raised again the third day. He was the one that rose and went into heaven itself. He's the one that's coming back again. And that coming again gives me no fear whatsoever, because I know he's coming for me, not because of me, but because of him and all he has done for me. I wonder about you tonight. Oh yes, you've come out of respect. You've come because your parents make you come. You trust Christ as your Savior and your Lord. You will know your sins forgiven. You will know a sure place in heaven. Does all your problems end when you get saved? Indeed, no. But there's one that sticketh closer than a brother. There's one that draws alongside, and one to whom you can turn in every occasion of life's sorrows. He is the one that promises to be with us not only for time, but for all eternity. May you trust him tonight with your soul for salvation. May the Lord bless.